This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, covering Ipswich Town since 2015. I'm Richard Woodward and you are tuned into the flagship show, available each week on video and audio. And joining me tonight, two gentlemen who always know their position on the podcast. They know where to be, no ill discipline, they know exactly where to stand. Craig Fimbo, Joe Fares. Hey, guess what, guys? Can you guess that I made that intro up on the spot? How about that? Craig, let's start with you, given you're at the top. How are you?
All good. Thank you very much. Yeah, had a lovely day today. Nice and sunny, wasn't it, today? So I went to watch me boy play football and get kicked in the head. And
oh, really? Opposition get
yellow. Yeah, under 14, mate. Yellow card brandished in an under 14 game. For I just say my boy's a goalkeeper. He's not like out on pitch being kicked in the head.
Oh, right, okay. Everybody's come to fighting. For the benefit of the people listening on the podcast, Craig, can you do me a favour and just explain Joseph Fair's attire? I mean, it's impressive stuff.
Well, yeah, hold on. Let me just zoom in. I haven't got full screen at the moment. Let me just do
it's impressive, Joe. Talk us through it.
Well, I feel bad.
Ferns.
You were just talking about showing good discipline to the pod, being in the right position, but I've had to postpone the pod for 25 minutes
because I was stuck at
a barbecue in Colchester, and because I've been at a barbecue, I've gone for the Hawaiian shirt, which is a sort of spice number. I'd imagine it's probably more fitting of Ben Bloom rather than me on these.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain I've seen Ben in that shirt before. But it's
there any birds on that, Joe? Yeah, the hummingbird on there, I'm saying.
There's a few
about. The kids love it. Chicks dig it.
Chicks dig it. And that's the audience. That's who we're pitching to. Giving away secrets of the pod as well. But yeah, behind the actor studio or whatever it is. We've got plenty to talk about today. Not in a good way, but I'm gonna, as you can tell from the intro, I was trying to keep it up, you know, the energy positive and you know, but we're gonna have to wade through some stuff. I'm not going to swear so early in the pod because YouTube doesn't like it when we do that. Let's quickly deal with the news, shall we, guys? And I saved this story from the pre-match show with Mikey on Friday. It's not a huge amount of a story, really, but the squad list is confirmed for the first half of the season. We're obliged to submit a squad within 24 hours of the EFL transfer window shutting, and their lists are published. So Salida and Morsi go in there. But Craig, there are people who miss out because we've got, you know, it's a quality squad we've got. Miles Kenlock continues with the under-23s. He doesn't make it. And Ben Morris, who's still coming back from his ACL injury. So he misses out as well. Centre-half Luke Wolfenden, as TWTD reports, counts as a club-developed player the only one amongst the seniors. Anything that you want to, any conclusions that you want to draw from any of those bits of information, Craig?
Well, we can't draw anything concrete from those, from that, but you might be able to conclude that having been in the bomb squad at the beginning of pre-season and then realizing that at least one someone who's been with you for X amount of years needs to be in your 22-man squad to suddenly appear in the first team squad may suggest that it's a box-ticking exercise. I don't know. Might be a bit harsh to say such. I suppose it was either him or Kenlock, wasn't it, at the end of the day?
Yeah.
And also, when you look at the size of some squads in this league, we were talking about having a nice trimmed-down squad with fewer players this year, and we have 49 professional players, where there's teams in this league with 22.
And also, Cook said himself, didn't he, we may have ended up with one or two more than we initially thought we might. Oh, that's reassuring that we didn't just go out and splurge all our money in some sort of supermarket sweep, chucking in Domestos and coffee makers into our trolley.
Oh, it's a 3-for-2 on bags of sugar. We yeah. always run out of sugar.
On central midfield, a very alike central midfielders. Quick, stock up.
Yeah, I mean, hold that thought on central midfielders. We are going to talk about those. Wolfenden, I mean, narrative around Wolfenden, again, when we start talking about Bolton as well. So hold that thought too. But there we go. All of the best laid plans, all of the sound bites from the summer, and there we go. We're trying to find jiggery pokery administrative means of getting that squad submitted. Certainly players who were unlikely to be featuring there. I guess they don't need to be because they don't count because they're below the age range. But Joe, five academy players, I guess scholars, I might be wrong on that vernacular, have gone out on loan. Harry Nocter, Felix Walton, Gerald Boobo, Jesse Nambueze, Zach Bradshaw joining Berry, and Dylan Crowe, the kind of who we've spoken about on and off Dylan Crowe for about 3 years since that kind of Huddersfield deal didn't happen. He's off to Leicester. Any reflections on the status of the academy? That worth just lobbing into the pot before I let you speak as well.
Yes.
The under-18s remain top of their league after a 1-1 draw at the weekend with Cov. But yeah, go on, Joe.
It's interesting because we've got five players in the under-18 squad out on loan where I can't remember the last time you loan out players of that age. Nor the only time you do is sort of at the end of their second year, you might send a couple out on loan because you know you're not going to offer them a contract. But someone like Gerard Boabo, for example, signed sort of early this year as an under-16, played sort of had a decent role in the Youth Cup, and he's a first-year scholar, never really been in the academy, and he's now going out on loan to sort of play men's football. So it's definitely a different path they're trying to go down and get more players out on loan. Like I said, we normally get about 18 to 20 out of season. We've got 17 out already at the moment, and it's just, I'd say you just hope that the players aren't going out on loan too early. They're not just going to get too suited to a low level of football rather than actually learning the technical skills required to play football at Ipswich Town and then sort of try and toughen themselves up from there, because like I said, these players just haven't been in the academy that much at all. So interesting to see. But yeah, it sounds like they're all playing and all doing relatively well.
How will that work? They'll still train with us on a day-to-day basis and just obviously train with Berry, Leicester, whoever on the nights that they'll train.
Yeah, they'll still be based at the club almost full time, really. And I think for the under-18s, it's almost part of the club will probably get funding from the sort of educational authorities for it with almost apprenticeships, where they'll have to be doing a certain amount of hours of classroom style and sort of day release work studies there as well. So it's not just as simple as just, oh, they're out on loan and we don't see them. They will just be playing the games for them. So, but interesting to see, and sort of interesting to see how it works out. But I say it's good to have some relationships with the sort of Suffolk non-league clubs. It'd be ideal if we could help some of those Suffolk non-league clubs get up to a better standard of football, ideally sort of Conference South, even sort of Conference National League, Premier, or whatever they're called these days, because like I say, some of the players are effectively a step forward, which isn't a great standard, but the sort of better they can do, the sort of better everyone does from it.
And we've got some kind of link up with Berry Town now, haven't we, via Alan Lee maybe, or did I read that, or have I made that up?
I think there's some, but it's all like unofficial links with Bury, Sudbury, Needham. Okay. We might train there or sort of allow them to use our facilities or send coaches that way. I think at some point Needham were linked with Norwich at one point, but I think that's ended. And Sudbury we had a decent relationship with, but then it sort of went down the pan a little bit. I think there were some comments between Mark Morsley and Brian Klug when a few guys went to Bury, and it's been a bit back and forth. But I think it's very important to just keep up good relationships with Bury, Sudbury, Needham, Lowestoft, Leyston, all these teams sort of that are close to us that can help us, and we can help them, because they have some decent players come through their academies as well, which end up in the league. So we need to make sure that we're the ones picking those up as well on the flip side.
Yep. So we'll keep ITFC underscore academy on the Twitter. I'm sure Joe, you'll be tweeting any updates from those guys. So keep a look on there. And finally in the news, I mean, this is becoming a regular feature now. Maybe we should just do the match reports for the women's team who made it through the determining round, which is, again, nice lingo for the Women's National League Cup. They beat London Bees, newly relegated London Bees, who are in the same level as Town, 1-0, Zoe Barrett with the goal, and continue their run of, I guess, is this NFL-type speech, Joe, shutout, or am I... The clean sheet, again, is what I mean. You can...
So, I think it's important that, say, we speak about the women's team, but I was listening to a podcast about the women's team the other day, and they were saying it's almost becoming more important that they start to score a few more goals, because I think this is obviously a cup game that they've got through against a decent side in their league, but I think there's two leagues, the sort of North and the South League, and there's only one promotion spot between the two leagues. So you've got to win the league to get into the playoffs to try and get promoted. So it's going to be really, really tough to get out of this league. And I think Southampton Ladies have won two of their games 9-0. Ipswich have yet to concede a goal, and it's, like I say, goal difference is going to be important. It's almost like there's two or three good teams in this league, and the league will be determined, as long as you do your job elsewhere, that the league is going to be determined in the games against the teams in this league. And if you draw the game, you need to make sure you're getting your goal difference up elsewhere. So it's just really important for these girls that they keep winning and keep winning well, but you just got to keep doing it. But like I said, a great cup result against a team at their level who have recently been relegated. I think at sort of two or three of the signings have been from London Bees this summer.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think there was some rotation. I think they had their day off today, I think. So, and just worth noting as well, I mean, they faced London Bees in the league at the Hive, which is where Barnet Stadium, obviously, in October. But next week, a home game on the Sunday at the Gold Star Ground. So if you're not travelling to Lincoln, and even if you are, you'll be back on Sunday, hopefully. Keensham Town are the visitors, so yeah, try and get along. I might be there. I think I threatened to be there for this one, but events and logistics got the better of me, so hopefully next week I can see my first ITFC women's fixture. That'd be good. And I think that's the news. I'm trying to put it off as long as I can, but I'm not sure I can. Let's talk about Bolton. And no surprises for anyone tuning in to the exceptionally well-researched pre-match show last week. No surprises about the Bolton team. Let's start there. I will put that up on the screen for those of you watching on YouTube. I think just the one change for Bolton, Ian Everts, Bolton, Josh Sheehan, who'd travelled with Wales for their World Cup qualifiers. He came back into the centre of midfield. Otherwise, it's as you were. And as Mikey revealed, the 4-2-3-1 formation and the bombing on fullbacks, very much Ian Everett from the school of Paul Cook. More on that shortly. As for Town, some debuts, and we will talk about these in context later on. Debuts in goal for Christian Walton, centre-back for George Edmondson in what you would notionally call our first choice back line, I guess. And other bits of news, we've mentioned him already, Luke Wolfenden drops out of the squad entirely, along with Hladke, who also didn't make the bench. It was Thomas Holy who was the keeper on the bench. Luko in for injured Carl Edwards. We became aware of that. We weren't aware prior to kickoff of the injury necessarily for Scott Fraser, which occurred earlier in the week. Connor Chaplin comes in for him. Neither of those injuries supposed to be too bad, but you never know when it comes to Ipswich. Craig, how are you feeling about the teams prior to kickoff?
Quite looking forward to it, to be honest. Quite looking forward to seeing Burgess and Edmondson start to solidify their 40-game league game campaign together in front of their new goalkeeper, just to start that rock-solid relationship as it means to continue. Obviously, Aluko's a bit of a bolt out of the blue, wasn't it? But as you say, it transpired that Fraser was injured along with Edwards, so that makes sense. Was interesting to see, or interested to see, Chaplin have another go at number 10, because obviously first match of the season he was a little bit anonymous, not much was going through the centre midfield through to our number 10. So, you know, we've had a couple of weeks on the training field to put that right. But yeah, no, everything else was pretty straightforward. And obviously Wolfenden being out and Danasian being on the bench just gives a little bit of, you know, he can a little bit of cover in two positions rather than the one normally that Wolfenden will give you, you know, just in case something happens to your right back in the first 20 or so minutes, you know, he can potentially cover there as well. Managerial genius.
There's so much kind of nods and winks and smiles going on with the three of us, by the way.
One of those post like match of the day commentaries where you know damn well what the result is and exactly what's going to happen, but you can like pretend to be really knowledgeable just before it actually takes place.
Joe, there was some chatter about our centre midfield pairing after AFC Wimbledon. We used to, I guess, Morsi, we were in it, you know, suspended, so that was never going to happen. But you were, any thoughts about that configuration in the middle changing for you, or as you expected?
It's hard to talk about it without looking at it with hindsight, isn't it? But I think Tom Carroll's got a lot more pedigree. He's almost seen as a signing that is, oh, he's just a late one that got chucked in there. It's like, we know, you look at his career, he's played 100 games in the Premier League. He's sort of played a lot of games for Spurs when they finished third. He's played a lot of games in the Championship, and you sort of wonder when he's going to get his chance, because it does seem that the balance between Rakeem Harper and Lee Evans hasn't worked very well so far, but more to come on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and Evans retains the captaincy, though again, it's reiterated in some excellent man management that that's not yet decided definitively. So into the action, guys. I mean, the atmosphere was bubbly. Paul Cook ran onto the pitch like he does before kickoff and before the teams came out and took the applause and gave some back. And that was all very exciting. And the North Stand was bouncing a little bit and, a bit of a basketball kind of start. And that was certainly the way that things were in the first half. Bolton have a corner, which is cleared. But Craig, 5 minutes in, Kane Vincent-Young, I think it is, wins the ball back on the town right. Maybe that's the one later on, but either way, it ends up with Wes Burns.
Yeah, no, he did, didn't he? Vincent-Young had it about 10 yards in our half on the right-hand side and slipped it forward to Burns on the halfway line, and Burns stuck on the afterburners. Pretty much ran in a straight line. And to be fair, he was strong, wasn't he? Was it Gordon? I think Liam Gordon was their left back. Pretty much just knocked it past him, shrugged him off.
Fouled him?
No, he's right in front of us. So, but not wishing to go, you know, tread on Joe's toes in terms of the next hole, but literally when Burns crosses both of these crosses there, I'm looking straight down that line of where he's crossing it. So,
and I'd say from where I am, I'm the other side looking straight at it. And it wasn't a foul. The refs have let a lot go this season, and there's a couple of times where Burns got brushed off the ball, and this one, there was no way it was ever a foul, that one.
No, I'm up in the North Stand, guys.
We had all angles covered there, Rich. Do not worry yourself about that, mate.
I'm asking the questions, that's fine.
We're like the board on JFK there, mate.
Without prejudice, I just asked the question. Yeah.
Yeah, so he, and contrary to what he's been guilty of in previous games, is he actually, you know, he looked up and he picked out the pass, whereas before he's been like blasting it across and hitting it too hard. You know, he could see, he looked up, spotted Bond at the back post, just slid a nice cross, and Bond's at the back post just to tap it in.
Yeah, and
what a start!
Exactly right. What a start! The note I've got here as well is, you know, we're going to talk about Ipswich's defensive shape. The fact that Macaulay Bond is 2 yards out of, you know, in front of the goal, completely unmarked, to me suggested that Bolton weren't all that defensively either. And the first half was punctuated by, I think, some pretty chaotic defending from both teams. It's just one got more chaotic as the game went on. But as you say, Joe, that positive start. And then Bolton establish their kind of way to get around our tactics. It's clear that Everett is clued up on Paul Cook style. Lots of long diagonals, lots of exploiting the space when the fullbacks bomb on, which we've, Greg, I think you mentioned this pretty early on, that the idea is the fullbacks are going to bomb on, but the central midfielders fill the space. That certainly was not happening. Some instances where Bolton get in behind. Kane Vincent Young, we'll talk about him more in a second. He picks up an early yellow card for a foul on Afa Lion. More on him too, because on the 18th minute, it's going to go all kinds of wrong. Have I missed a goal out yet? I'm really struggling to keep.
It's one on 10 minutes. They score 5 minutes after us.
Yeah, I'm. This is the trouble, guys, with conceding so many goals. I've literally lost the track of the order. So let's talk about the first goal for Bolton. It's an equaliser for them. And Joe, we talked about the space, but this is just terrible defending all around, isn't it?
It's quite a simple goal, really, isn't it? When you look back at it, and this isn't a case of the fullbacks being caught up the pitch. This is a case that their fullbacks have bombed on, and it's a long ball from the sort of inside right position, just knocked over the top. Liam Gordon, the left back, has moved on. Vincent Young goes across to him, but he's probably a little bit too slow getting over to him. Gordon just heads it back into Afa Lion, is it? Who has more space than you believe. And like I said, George Edmondson has got to get closer to him there. You can see where the ball's going. You can see Vincent Young has to go across to try and get close to Gordon, and Edmondson just doesn't react at all. Afa Lion has time just to take a touch and hammer it past the keeper. And it's a well-taken goal, but it comes up late in the game. It's a well-worked goal, and it's a very clear weakness that Everett seemed to have picked out in our team, that they were able to just keep going after again and again. And I say it was just it's hard to say it's a poor goal to concede because it was well taken, but it was too easy.
Yeah,
it's a pretty standard League One goal that we may see a few more times against us if we don't sort ourselves out pretty quickly, you'd have thought.
And Afa Lion is very happy to celebrate a birthday goal in front of the North Stand with a party hat, which I don't know where that came from. And inside the crowd,
sounded
as well.
Like it went down well, though.
Yeah, it was very well received by the North Stand, as you can imagine.
He had a hat.
He had a party hat. Yeah, I don't know if someone had chucked it on the pitch for him or left it behind the goal, but he put a party hat on. I definitely remember seeing that. But again, I might have dreamt that.
If you had to drink before the game, Rich.
I had some Ribena. No,
not as much as after.
No, well. And this is just going to get worse as well, because we talked about the foul that Vincent Young puts on Afa Lion, and that I've just got my sequencing wrong. Then we've got the penalty here. And
that foul as well, sort of, not to go back to it, is ridiculous, because Vincent Young loses the ball on the touchline about 40 yards from goal. He tries to pull Afa Lion down. Afa Lion doesn't go down. And Vincent Young just goes with him and still trying to pull him down, and ends up pulling him down on the edge of the box, getting the obvious yellow card. And it's like, if somebody's beating you to the ball and you're in a bad position, you've made a mistake, pull him down, take the yellow card. There's no point taking the yellow card and still giving a free kick away in what was a bloody dangerous position by the time he actually gave it away there. It's just very, very naive defending there. Like I say, you've either got to foul properly, take the yellow, or just, where they fouled him was a silly position to give away free kick in, and we got away with that one. But
yeah, but we're not going to get on this, and I'm going to take this one because, as we've already established, I'm in the North Stand looking at this, and I mean, but you guys have said it looks no better or worse from the opposite end of the ground as well. Vincent Young is actually doing just about okay in this situation. He's taking Afa Lion away from, he's getting slowly close to goal, but he's out wide and he's got to get past Vincent Young to get a ball across, and he's being shepherded to an extent. Vincent Young's giving him plenty of space, but he keeps letting him come, doesn't stand him up, doesn't try and persuade him outside or try and stick a, stick a boot in, but he's about to stick a boot in just as Afa Lion's about to kick the ball off the pitch, basically. and it's a clear foul. It's so I can't recall seeing a more obvious foul, and it felt inevitable as well. Just inviting him, and eventually, I don't know whether Joe, it was similar to the foul on Zaha and the Palace friendly.
I was just about to say that in the Palace friendly that Vincent Young again did this, where it's sort of like you've sort of jockeyed him into position and you've sent him one way, and then you've just dived in where there was never a chance of winning the ball from where he dived in at. It's just a really, really poor challenge. And I think had he not already been booked, this would have been a nailed on yellow card. And had that been a second yellow card, I don't think you'd have been able to have any complaints. It's just a poor, poor tackle.
Yeah. And Doyle it is who makes no mistake from the spot, gives Walton the eye, sends him to his right, and nice low shot down the middle, which we always love to see. 21 minutes, Craig, as you've mentioned before, Danasian is brought into the fray, Vincent Young substituted. And that's a pretty sad indictment. I mean, it's probably logical, but an indictment of a 21-minute spell that Vincent Young is going to want to forget, isn't it?
Yeah, horror show, didn't he? Poor old fella. And it's probably his worst performance of the season, but he wasn't a million miles off that, was he, Joe, over at Burton? You, I, and Dave stood next to each other in the corner at Burton. And he had a poor old game there as well. He wasn't
Burton, though, it was match, more that he struggled in an attacking sense at Burton, wasn't it? That he just had nothing about him when he was trying to do anything in the attacking sense, where I can't remember him being beaten over and over again, sort of defensively, which he was at yesterday. But no, it's a worry, his form so far this season. Obviously, he seems to have lost a step at the moment physically, but has he lost a step mentally as well from the sort of player that came in?
And he was doing press this week as well. He's talking up the role of Chambers and Skuse last season and the example they set in the dressing room. But hey-ho. But, you know, as much as there have been about a 15-minute spell of total dysfunction for Ipswich, Joe, I think my order is now back on track. Wes Burns is going to do the trick again down the right-hand side.
And it's just the same as before. He just picks the ball up, has a look around. He's got nowhere else to go but just to run it down the line. He just runs it, and then just fires a cross in. Like, Bon is there lurking, but Ricardo Santos beats Bon to the ball and just swings a left foot at it and just shanks it into his own goal. Keeper, absolutely no chance. Had he left it to Bon, it would have been a goal there. But again, the goal comes from very little, really. It's not like it's a great piece of attacking play from the team working. It's Wes Burns being able to be very direct, very good at getting past the man and picking out the right ball. But great to be back on term. You thought, here we go, come on, back to 2-2. Can't have another poor defensive game. Let's go from here. But
yeah, and it's just worth, I'll put up the attacking momentum chart here. It doesn't show the goals, annoyingly, but there was certainly a 10-minute spell after we equalised where I think Town got back on top and realised the best way to stay in the match was not to let Bolton in our half. So we tried to take the game to them, and Chaplin has a chance on 35 and makes some space pretty well for himself. A nice turn. Hits it high and wide, though. And then 45 minutes, we've got these kind of fine margin moments. Admittedly, it's not going to matter because of the second half, where, again, Burns and Bon. And Bon can't set himself. Guys, can you talk through this? He didn't seem to me to be able to get his feet right and ends up prodding wide, isn't he?
That's exactly it.
Burns get round and pulls it back to him, but he takes it with his left foot and he just sort of hits it back the way it came almost, doesn't he? He doesn't direct it towards goal I think he probably had time to take a touch and have a shot, but it was barely a half chance, really, was right. It?
And then down the other end, Craig, just on half time when you don't want to concede, it's that man again.
Yeah, and we were chatting up where we are saying, oh, let's just get to half-time now. Get to half-time, treat it as 0-0, start again second half. But it was almost straight from that Bon chance, wasn't it? Bon chance. The ball makes its way over to our right-back position, and for some reason, Danasian is just miles away from Afellayan. Danasian's in the centre pretty much, holding hands with Edmondson.
He goes to the ball, doesn't he? Earlier in the move, I think.
Yeah, but I don't know if he just doesn't see him or doesn't know he's there, but he is a good 20 yards away from Afellayan, and he's that far away that Afellayan has time to control it, look up, and sort of caress it into that far corner before Donessian's even got across to stop the shot. And it's just another appalling, you know, from what you see, just defensively set up goal that, you know, when the ball's here, you need to be here. But even that, for a guy who's, you know, a relatively experienced defender and has played right back on a fair few occasions,
he's an out and out defender, really, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. That. And that's, I thought that when Vincent Young went off, I thought, right, okay, well, what might happen now is because obviously Vincent Young and Harper play on that same sort of side, and nominally Harper's supposed to be covering for Vincent Young when he goes up and down the pitch. Well, if Donassian's there, then Harper hasn't got, this was my way of thinking, Harper hasn't got to do as much covering, actually, because Donassian's not going to be bombing forward too much. You know, you know where he's going to be. Lo and behold, you look up, and he's not there. He's over in the middle. So, yeah, it's just another, chalk it up, to another poor goal.
And Joe, you know, a lot of people, I think in the second half he started to get a few sarcastic jeers and cheers, might have been the Bolton fans. Christian Walton could do nothing about these goals. The penalty, isn't it? But these are, you know, you're giving the ball to an informed striker. We two goals already that's in the season, doubled up, didn't he? But these are right in the middle of the area, or just out, you know, right close in. The keepers he's not got a huge amount of chance with these, has he?
Like, I'm not going to criticise Walton because, like I say, it's his first game, and I wouldn't say he had a chance of anything. But it would be nice to see an Ipswich goalkeeper save a shot this season that you're not expecting them to. It hasn't happened
point.
Yet.
The goalkeepers in
Thomas Holy effect.
Yeah, hadn't made it. Our keepers don't make saves in our matches anymore, do they? It's bizarre, and that's half time, and a real, you know, kick in the teeth when you'd kind of got back on terms after a very chaotic time after taking the lead, and the same old mistakes, and we've broken the duck of conceding two goals a game because we've now conceded three. And second half, I'm not going to dwell too much on this because the game's over pretty much on the 60th minute. You know, Bonner's a chance early on in the second half, but this, I'll just quickly talk through this goal. Guys, feel free to add anything in. Sarkovic is as a low shot saved. He's got time to retrieve the ball and centres it to Sheehan, who's totally unmarked, and he just slots it beyond Walton into the corner for 4-2. Bolton at this point, completely dominant. Afellain and Sarkovic have more further chances before on 57. The positioning is all askew again. Coulson's up the pitch. Evans notionally covering for him. And who is it who gets the cross in? It's the centre-back Santos, who's marauding down the right-hand side. And who's on the end of his cross? It's the other centre-back. It's Johnston, who has a header which hits Edmondson, conveniently falls straight back to him, and the rebound, he kind of loops a shot in for the fifth.
Seconds before that, the ball could be cleared, but it loops up in the air. Walton goes to save it,
doesn't he?
Him and Burge, and I don't know whether he puts a name on it, I'm sure he does, but him and Burge jump into each other and he spills the ball out. It's like...
And the one before that, the fourth goal went over Burgess's head, didn't it? He's there, ready to header it, and it just... He loses it, goes over his head. He did that in the first half as well. The one where Edmondson had to cover round, I think, and block the shot. Burgess was literally standing under it for ages. My ball. But he had a poor old game yesterday, Burgess.
But even in the first half, Edmondson makes a goal-saving tackle. Then Nashian gets across and makes a goal-saving tackle when they're there. Later, after the fifth goal, a throw-in just comes down the line that Edmondson lets drift over his head. And 10 seconds later, they have a shot. A long ball is looped in. Edmondson and Burgess look at each other and you think, well, they've got it covered because it's gone in there so slowly. And then 2 seconds later, the Bolton striker's firing a half volley at goal, which Walton does well to keep out. It was an absolute horror show at the back.
It was just shambles. And there was times when the ball was dropping over Donassian and Donassian was looking back to Walton thinking, right, he's going to come and get it. Walton's backing off towards his goal and they're getting further and further apart. The ball's just dropping between them. There was just zero understanding between it. They were playing like strangers. I know they're all new, but they did actually look like they were playing like strangers.
And like I say, you talk about Luke Wolfenden, and I know you want to get Edmonds into the team, but I thought Luke Wolfenden and Cameron Burgess have formed a decent partnership so far, and all the goals they've conceded have been from set pieces, and that's team defending, not individual defending. I thought the in-game defending was as bad as I've seen from an Ipswich team for well, I don't know when the last time we defended that badly in game was. You're probably going back quite literally to sort of Paul Jewell era.
Yeah.
And the thing that gets me, or you know, we've got questions about the coaching, we've got questions about the organisation, is the amount of space that we just afforded them. I couldn't really understand whether we were man marking or zoner marking. I don't think we were marking at all. We were marking the space, and utter chaos. And the boos start at that point. There had been.
A lot of people left when that fifth went in. I don't blame them.
There were people leaving, certainly in the north side, a load of mass exit at that point. There were people arguing right in front of me, two lots of argument with the same people who guys were slagging off Cook and the team, and people were giving them back, and the stewards got involved, and it went on for about 10 minutes. There was more drama in that bit than there was in the rest of the half, albeit. Macaulay Bonnets, the post, doesn't he, from a well-taken Coulson free kick, but the damage.
I can't believe that didn't go in. It looked in, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're still playing.
As well, yeah. And the subs, guys, I mean, we're going to have to talk about what the plan is here, or what was trying to happen here. Carroll comes in for Chaplin. Harper goes up to the number 10 position. Then Evans has a go there. Then I think it becomes a 4-1-4-1. Jackson... comes on for Burns. I mean, Burns had a pretty lousy second half. There was one moment where he lost the ball in the sun and it went straight out, hit him off the back and stuff.
They basically, Burns was our danger man where everything was coming through, and they just switched it around and just put Affley on that side so that the fullbacks couldn't go there, left Burns isolated, and it just took Burns out of the game. And it just felt that they were just two steps ahead of us tactically all game. They were making little in-game adjustments, and we were just, Paul Cook just looked despairing on the touchline and very alone, just standing there, sort of his hands on his knees, just not knowing what to do. And I just think, like I say, you mentioned Jackson there. You've got the winger going off. You've got Louis Barry, who he signed. You've got Joe Piggott, who he signed. And you've got Caden Jackson, who was bombed down and was playing at Braintree while Ipswich were drawing 3-3 with Colchester pre-season. Caden Jackson was playing with the youth team at Braintree. And who's the one that comes on? Caden Jackson.
Yeah.
And you also say about Carroll coming on. That's the second time they've tried that, where he comes on and sits in front of the back four. And that just completely nullifies us. Nothing happens from then on in, because neither Harper or Evans know what to do then. They're just like, just nominally just wandering around a little bit further forward. Neither of them get on the ball. There's no point Carroll... reminded me very much of Andre Dizel last year. There's no point Carroll or Dizel having the ball 70 yards away from the opposition goal. What's the point? You know, you've got a nice guy who can just ping passes with his left foot. Well, he's pinging them 20 yards around the halfway line. You know, it's just offering us nothing at all. It just completely nullified us.
Just to even take it back to its simplest level, you're 5-2 down at home and you take off your number 10 to bring on a deep line midfielder and leave one up front. We'd given up at this point.
It looked like we didn't want to concede anymore.
Yeah.
We were just trying to solidify that central midfield. Just, Christ, we don't want to be conceding six here.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we're 5-2 down at home. We don't want to lose any more than that. It was an absolute, sorry, YouTube ad revenue shit show.
That's all right. We're after the first 15 minutes.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
And to sum up the point on Jackson, low on confidence, you know, clearly doesn't have the trust of the manager here, and we've been, it's no secret we've been trying to get him out. He is presented with a pretty decent opportunity in front of goal, and rather than take a shot, he crosses it. And that just summed up the kind of situation for me. Just substitutions with no real forethought. There is no realistic plan B here. And even then, the game is gone when the plan is brought into action anyway. And, you know, the boo start, there was some, you know, the same old gumbos in the North Stand saying not fit to wear the shirt. But, you know, quite rightly, the media are now looking, and Twitter, and, you know, we are going to have to look into the decisions that Paul Cook is making. You know, the interviews, you can tell when things are starting to turn and are not looking good, because Stu Watson and Andy Warren in the EADT start to put the transcript up of the post-match interview verbatim rather than make an article of it. You know, the quotes here, I'll give you them. After a dream start, that ended in nightmare. How would you sum that up? I think you've just summed it up perfectly. It's probably one of the toughest days I've had in management. I think that he's had two of those in his spell with Ipswich, with two different teams. So make of that what you will.
Who's answering these questions? I can't tell without the accent, mate.
Sorry.
Who's answering these questions?
The next quote is the kind of quote that's starting to get on my nerves. This is a very proud club, very, very proud club. And that was not a very proud performance. I can't get the two levels. I've lost it. I'm out of practice.
Good.
We are, and then there's two questions in a row. We are quite okay with the ball, quite okay. If that was written in my performance review at work, Richard is quite okay at doing his job, I'd kind of think, well, damn, with faint praise there. We still score goals, and we missed a couple of chances, but without the ball, we are a million miles away from where we need to be as a team. That's something we have to eradicate and eradicate quickly. Question: how are you going to eradicate it? By not talking too much. Well, there's a lot more chat in this interview. By not trying to talk nonsense to our supporters. But here we go. By a desire and a willingness to work, number one. By having a hunger and an aggression in our play. And that's something we sadly lack at the moment. And that's something we need to find. So not by being organized, by being well coached, by knowing exactly where to be, by having leaders on the pitch. That was very obvious to me, yes, on Saturday. No one organizing. No one talking. Captain Lee Evans, very silent, very passive. But what do you expect when you know that you're not going to have the captaincy in a few weeks' time when Morsi's fit and not banned? Does it worry you the start you've made to the season? No, no. I've got to tell you, no, it genuinely doesn't. I'd love to be able to say it does. I know the personnel in the building. I know the players we've got to come in. I know the characteristics of a Sam Morsi type, for example. Everything that we lack today will be there 10 times from him. It's all about Morsi. Question, I'll leave you with this before we jump into some questions. Do you think it's in the questions? Do you think it's in the coaching? And the answer, come on, mate. That is the answer. Do you think it's in the coaching? Come on, mate. Do us a favour. Don't ask that. First time Ipswich have conceded 5 at home since 2011. When Southampton also beat us 5-2. In the dugout, a Scouser named Paul. And that defeat was followed up by a 7-1 away defeat at Peterborough, guys. Bolton up to third. I thought Bolton, I don't know whether it's just because they played us, but looked very tidy. Afellain, obviously a quality player. Doyle, we knew about. Sarkovic, decent number 10. Didn't really do a huge amount yesterday, but didn't really have to. Solid backline. They're up to third. Good luck to them. And Town 22nd, one of three teams with no wins yet on the board. 9 points off playoffs, 12 points off top spot. It's not
in Division 3.
In Division 3, Craig. Quite right. Let's go to the questions. Let's try and make some more sense of this. And Dave Gore starts us off in the right way. Who has to pee in all the corners of Portman Road to release the obvious curse that's hanging over this club? That's the only reason it must be. Alex Hare is very prolific in the comments, but I think this is probably the one that is the most the most important. Cook won this division twice with two previous clubs and using many of the same players he signed. Why is it not working for us? It was a shambles on Saturday. Joe, I'm going to come to you.
Well, when you look at when he won this league with Wigan in 2016-17, I think it was, as a team, in the whole season, Wigan conceded 29 goals in 46 games. We've conceded 15 goals in six games. So more than half they conceded in the whole season, we've conceded by the 12th of September. It's... I don't want to go down the route, and I'm sure this will come up in the questions, of Liam Richardson was the brains, and but you look at where Wigan are in the league. Second, are they? Six games, yeah. And so far their six games have been against Sunderland, Rotherham, Wickham, Charlton, Portsmouth, and then Doncaster yesterday. We're third bottom, and we've played Morecambe, Burton, Cheltenham, MK Dons, AFC Wimbledon, and Bolton, and it is we've had a very soft start to the season, and we have picked up zero results. Paul Cook came in for 16 games last season, and that was twice against AFC Wimbledon, MK Dons at home, Northampton, Rochdale. We haven't played. He's been in charge for 22 games of this football club in the league, and we've won four of them. And I'd say out of those 22 games, there's probably one, maybe two against teams that you'd expect to finish in the top eight in this league. Last year, he couldn't set the team up to score a goal. We were drawing every game 0-0. We can now score goals, but we're so leaky at the back. It's almost like you can't have both ways of it. You sort of let go of one and then the other goes with it. And like I say, we are utter rubbish. It's just embarrassing how bad we were yesterday. Like I say, I didn't realise how long ago it was when you just said there, the sort of first time we've let in five goals at home since we played Southampton in 2011, 10 years, and this is the third tier. And sort of Bolton, they drew 0-0 at home to Burton on Monday, and they're putting five past us. And they came out after half-time and they could smell blood, and they just ripped into us and scored twice. And had they carried on playing like that, that game could have finished anything yesterday. It could have been worse, and we had no answer to it. They just, tactically, we were just out-coached from start to finish. They just making little adjustments, and Paul Cook, I don't know, he's got no coach on the bench to talk to him. He's just standing there on his haunches, just he seems lost out there on that sideline, and it is a big, big worry.
That's the concern to me is, and I was chatting to my boy Oscar's manager. He's an Ipswich Town fan, and we sort of, as we arrived this morning, just looked at each other and went, Christ, what was that yesterday sort of thing? And we both said, Paul Cook is now getting, in every match, he's getting tactically outthought before matches, just in terms of how the opposition set up and play against us, but during matches as well. And this isn't against Alex Ferguson and Jose Mourinho. This is against guys who are just starting off in their managerial careers, isn't it? These are novice managers.
AFC Wimbledon manager was working for like PRS music things about 3 years ago.
He was working for my mate at Chelsea doing the tours about 7-8 years ago, and just part-time bloody coaching under nines at AFC Wimbledon. These are novice guys that are just, before games and during games, outthinking us. That's a concern.
Mm. And he cuts a very lonely figure on the sideline as well. Yeah. And that, to me, there are questions about, well, let's get into it now. There's plenty of them here. I'll just scroll through some of these. Dale Ellis. Cook said, don't really see positives when you've had a heavy defeat at home. Also took issue with being asked negative questions. What's that leave to ask? Can't ask about injuries, anything else. Gets annoyed. His interviews feel pointless. Dale, it gives me an opportunity to brush up on my Paul Cook accent. More observations here. Painful and poor. Ashton asked for patience only last week, and putting up with this is the definition of patience. No board is going to get rid of a proven manager off this investment quickly. I think Christmas at the very earliest, this will get a review.
Just in terms of Ashton and Ben and I were talking about it last weekend, and even now, when the Ipswich result comes up on Twitter, you'll get Bristol City fans coming in, won't you, chatting in, oh, look, Ashton's blah, blah. Ashton isn't setting this team up. Ashton's pretty much done exactly what the manager wants him to do. You could probably argue that the one mistake Ashton has made is allowing Cook carte blanche with his coaching staff.
Yep, yep.
But like I say, you look at the sort of players that we've signed, and all we heard about is that Paul Cook knows exactly the sort of players he wants. We've signed those sort of players, and now all we hear is when Sam Morsy's in the team, we'll be fine. Well, you've signed three other central midfielders, and not one of them can win a battle in midfield. Not one of them smells danger, covers ground, sits up. Like I say, I'm not obviously Cole Skuse is 36 now, and he's gone. But a player of that ilk whose first instinct is to shut the back door, not go forward. The midfield two, Harper and Evans, is as flaky a midfield two as I've ever seen. They got overrun in pre-season when they played, and they've been overrun in every game now. And you're not talking about proper hardened pros overrunning them. You're talking about just League One battlers overrunning them.
Well, not even that. Is the Milton Keynes? These are League One kids as well that are taking Lee Evans to the cleaners in central midfield.
We've got to answer the questions here, guys, because I've got so many. Maurice Cloud, Cook's post-match cliche is getting ever more irritating for him. He says Edmondson not fit. Burgess out, Thorpe, Harper and Evans run over again. Cook, a one-trick formation tactical pony. Smart teams have worked him out. Is tactical help the only answer? P.S. You were right about Afellain. Yep, he was my pick, although I didn't say it out loud in the pod. James Monk, just to supplement this, Craig, we'll come to you on this one. I think this is a joke at the start. Do you think we need to buy some more attacking options to stop this run? He says, and these are his words, was it a mistake employing a kit man and not a defensive coach? Will we get an assistant manager when one of Cook's mates needs a job? Harsh words there, but the nub of it is a bit of truth, is it?
Well, it's a concern, isn't it? Because as both Morris, I think it was, and James has said, Cook plays one way. This is his formation. He said to the very, very, very beginning, I play 4-2-3-1. It's what I do, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's currently had two goes with two completely different sets of players. One that was already in the building. He's thrown that in the bin. And now he's got his hand-picked set of players, some of whom have played, I don't know, Lee Evans, 100 games for him in this formation in exactly the position that he wants him to play. And he can't get a tune out of these ones either. And what's the reason behind it? There's got to be a reason why that this formation that this guy has played for hundreds and hundreds of league games, he can't get to work. And from our uneducated view from the outside looking in, you can only look at the coaching staff. They just don't look coached or set up from open play or from set pieces. And also, this isn't just defensively now. This is going forward. You know, there's such a huge gap in our midfield between the number 10, for what reason he's there remains to be seen, because nothing goes through the poor guy, regardless of who it is. We're now going to have Bersant Salina playing there. What he's going to do well to get half a dozen touches a game if Chaplin's and Fraser's performance are anything to go by. But there's such a huge gap between them and the two sitting central midfielders who don't do their job either. The whole setup going forward and going back just seems to be all over the place at the moment. And that's a real, real concern.
Joe, I mean, this is we've mentioned this as well. Andrew Leggett, Cook seems to be hanging his hat totally on Sam Morsy. Can Sam Morsy save Paul Cook's Ipswich career? Just that supplement. This was a discussion I saw on Twitter as well. If we needed a player in the mould of Sam Morsy, and we signed kind of effectively three creative central midfielders, didn't we? No one with the fight in the battle. We let Downs out of the building as well, and I doubt but Nolan in there as well, but he's not that fighter either. It's a lot on Sam Morsy, but why didn't we try and get someone else like Sam Morsy as well?
And what would we have done had the Sam Morsy deal not gone through? That was a tough deal to do. That only went through on the last day because Middlesbrough got a player in and we managed to squeeze it through. So is Paul Cook really trying to say that after signing 18 top players at this level, that this one is the key one? If he is, bloody hell, we're in a worse position than I ever thought we were, because if we're relying this whole season on Sam Morsy, well, what's going to happen when he gets five bookings, if he gets another red card and he has to miss three more games? Do we just have to wave the white flag because we've got 19
off those games,
highly paid players in this division, probably the well, you look at the paper, and we said this all last year, but a really good squad this division, but we can't do anything because Sam Morsi's not here. I say, we're talking about players not gelling yet, not this. It was Paul Cook's choice to dismantle last year's squad and sign 19 players. So he's made his bed and he needs to start getting some results soon, or he's not going to be here much longer.
That's yeah. And that's a valid point in regards to that defensive midfielder, isn't it? Because we've got two players in every position. We've got three bloody first-team goalies, yet we didn't have a single battling central midfielder in a position, in a formation which Paul Cook knows he needs one.
Why did we sign Todd Carroll a few weeks back? If we needed a Sam Morsi type, why did we not sign a battling midfielder who could start a couple of games and then Sam Morsi comes in and takes his place? Because we've really now got three players for one position, and it's Lee Evans, Rakeem Harper and Tom Carroll fighting out for one shirt between them.
You can go back on this pod 3 years and we were, you know, the relegation down to League One, I'm pretty certain all of us were banging the drum for getting some battle-hardened central midfielders in there, and we haven't really addressed that even since Lambert was in charge. Tom, is it too simplistic to say that we could cut out the majority of goals if the back four took responsibility for their own man? The 90 minutes from Vincent Young was unbelievably poor, out of position first, yellow and pen, fullbacks are tucking in so far that we are undone by the diagonal. I think we'd all agree with that one, guys, don't we? Craig, is that coaching? Is that set up?
It is, isn't it? And it's a valid question. And it has been a question that not just we've been asking, everyone's been asking the same thing since we brought in Roberts initially and then Jeffers and Craney since, is who's coaching the defence? It's a valid question. You're not asking, you know, Franny Jeffers and Gary Roberts, between them probably won six headers in their professional careers, and yet you're now asking them to set up and drill a back four from open play and from set pieces, you know, marking up from corners. Whenever we get a corner or a free kick, you can just sense the crowd like, oh, Christ almighty, we'll be lucky if we get out of this. In the first half, we had Vincent Young marking Santos, because Edmondson was sitting on the six-yard box, you know, normally being the zonal marker. Well, that doesn't work, does it?
And we've also got, we've had a position where John Ashton, who's the fitness coach, who was a centre-back, is doing the drills with the centre-backs before the game.
He is the headers, isn't he?
It's
throwing up the ball so they can header it.
I say, I spoke to an ex-player at the game yesterday, and his view was that Terry Butcher, it was the under-23s manager, or under-23s assistant manager, they've sacked him, and now they can't organise a defence when you've got probably one of England's best ever defenders there. I'm not saying Terry Butcher's a brilliant manager, but he's had some success in the game as a manager, and I say, you're sacking him. Get him bloody organised people from set pieces. If you bought him as a set-piece defensive coach, you there's not many better defenders out there than Terry Butcher, is there? And
the thing is, as well, in terms of getting in, you know, assistant managers or defensive coaches, you're going to have to persuade them to come in now, because they'll be looking from the outside in, thinking, well, if I come to Ipswich as an assistant manager, we don't know timescales. There's a fair chance I could be out of a job again in 3 or 4 weeks' time, because the results aren't going the way. If there's someone decides somewhere that Paul Cook isn't the man for the job, they'll be chucked out with everybody else.
Joe, we are answering questions that I haven't asked yet, so I want to do the favour to
do it in the edit, mate. Make us look really, really good.
So no, I'm going to hold you back. Answer the questions, because there is an order. Don't worry,
so Jeremy Paxman here. Answer the question.
No, I don't want you to answer the question. That's not the point. You're answering it too well. Patrick Palmer here. I'll quote. These are his words. Cowboy Cook is his name here in comments, and there are 11 positions, not four, which need to be coached. If Cook and his team cannot coach a keeper, defence, and midfield to be better, should they be here? And then David Rowe kind of asks the question a lot of people are asking, who is going to snap first, the owners, the chief exec, or the crowd? His money's on the crowd, but you know, there is a waiver here. You know, I'll add in Yane's question here. Do you see any way Paul Cook could turn this around still, or are we just now waiting to see how long the patience of our owners lasts? You know, who wants to take that one?
I'll start with the first one about the patience, but you look at who we're playing next week, and it's Michael Appleton, the guy who's previously worked with Mike O'Leary, who's previously worked with Mark Ashton, who was, when sort of takeover talk on TWTD broke, was the guy that was seen as he's their first choice, but he recently signed a 5-year contract with Lincoln. If we have a performance next week, like we had yesterday or Saturday, where we get absolutely outfought, outbattled, and just embarrassed effectively, I don't see where it goes from there for Paul Cook. Like, I genuinely think if we have a performance this bad next week, Mark Ashton's going to be getting his contact book out and he's going to start to be speaking to people, because you cannot just throw the season away waiting for Sam Morsy to come in.
Craig, do you agree?
Well, depends what time of day you ask me, to be honest. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. These guys have invested so much money in Paul Cook, haven't they? And Paul Cook's team and Paul Cook's squad. I just don't know. We don't know. The American guys have understandably gone quiet since the football started, you know. I'll be intrigued to know whose final decision it will actually be. It'll be Mark Ashton's, I assume, will it? We think he'll get the, you know, they've brought him in to run the football club, haven't they, I suppose. But I think Patrick asked the first question about the coaching all over the pitch, and that is a failing of Paul Cook, isn't it? This is all on him. You know, as I said, when Mark Ashton's only mistake so far is giving him carte blanche about setting up his coaching team. And everyone said it. I said it was on TWTD. It's been on Twitter. It's been on the radio. People had concerns when these guys brought in. Yeah, they're named. They're known to Paul Cook. But are they the sort of coaches that we need? Are they somebody who's going to stand up to Paul Cook? Where is the replacement? You said it about it, Rich, in the fan Q&A when the question was asked to Paul Cook. You know, are you thinking about getting one in? Didn't get much of an answer.
No, the answer was pretty, I can't do better than Liam Richardson, so I'm happy with what I've got. I mean, Elder Grizzly's question here, at what point does Ashton or someone with some authority question the shambolic and inexperienced coaching setup with the club? His words, do they force an assistant or cook, or do they employ one, or do they say, thanks for your efforts, now is your time?
If you're forcing an assistant onto him, you might as well sack him then, because it's got to be a decision that he's, if he isn't able to make that decision himself, then it's game over. If he does genuinely need one, which we think he may do, and he isn't able to do that, it's because he's not showing the right hubris. He's just bunkering down on his position, and he's trying to do it all himself. And if that's the case, and he fails from there, you can't just input someone into there, because they won't have any respect or any. It will almost be it just does not work like that.
Token effort. But to be fair, and John McGreal has been at pretty much all the matches, hasn't he? He's been seen by various people. Go on, Rich, sorry.
Mikey asks, does John McGreal sit in the stands watching because he might become Cook's number two, or because he's going to become our next manager? Adam Fajani, should we bring in John McGreal as number two immediately without question? The correct answer is yes, but you might discuss it amongst yourselves first.
I think the only hope, like, McGreal is a friend of Paul Cook's, isn't he? So you assume that if McGreal is watching every game, he is speaking to him, he is having some input, whether it's formally or not. It's just a case that, I say, you just have to hope there's some organisation there, because it is such a disorganised rabble at the moment, isn't it?
But then it's up to John, you know, but John McGreal was manager of Swindon, wasn't he? You know, he's got ideas above being the defensive coach, assistant manager of Ipswich Town. And as Adam or Mikey says there, I don't think in a million years John McGreal will become the next manager of Ipswich Town as and when Paul Cook gets the sack. I think if it was still under Marcus Evans, I think there's a fair chance he would have done. But I'd imagine the American guys have got bigger fish to fry in terms of the next manager of Ipswich Town as and when it comes
to it. We were talking about Stuart Houston and John Gorman for Burley.
Brian Hamilton.
Yes, Brian Hamilton, yeah. So let's just, we'll do sort of 5 more minutes. We'll do these as quick fires, because I think we've dealt with the key talking points. Tom Dixon, what do we do in the training ground for 2 weeks?
I think they had some annual leave to
paintball. Take. Yeah, watch a few DVDs maybe. Brian Hanley, you need a little patience. So Bobby wasn't an overnight success. Ferguson, Burley, Klopp, they're all giving time. Good things come to those who wait. There's a bit of devil's advocate for you guys. Are you agreeing with that?
Which is fine, isn't it? But by the same token, you do want to see some sort of improvement, not necessarily game on game, but just a general idea. You think, actually, you can see what's going on here. You can see some sort of structure, or you can see some sort of plan in place that it looks solid from the back going forward. We can still attack. As Joe said, these two things don't need to be mutually exclusive. You can score goals and stop them from coming in at the other end. But at the moment, we don't seem to be able to do both at the same time, do you?
And I think you've got to, like I say, when they say, oh, Bobby Robson wasn't an overnight success, Bobby Robson came in, won four or five out of his first eight or nine games, kept us up. And then, yeah, he didn't have the best season. But this was in the first division when we were a smaller team. And we didn't get relegated. But Paul Cook's come in, and he came in last year when we were sort of outside the playoffs and goal difference and totally chucked that away. And then this year we started poorly. Like, a manager has to earn the time that they're given.
Yeah.
And you can't just give time for time's sake. And Alex Ferguson, when he came into Man United, I don't know where they were, but they finished second the year after he came in. It's like he sort of put himself some credit in the bank and then built on it from there. Even Burnley managed the worst Ipswich team ever in that Premier League, and it was poor. Well, we won sort of four out of our first seven games in what was Division One, the Championship. I don't know what it was at that point when we got relegated. You can't just get by on goodwill. You have to actually show something. And I can't. So I'm not a rabid Cook out. I don't think we've got to sack him or we've got no hope. I hope he comes good and I see the squad there, but I don't see anything from a Paul Cook team that is sort of in 22 games, in half a season now, what has he done on the pitch? What has he achieved? What good has he got? One single good result in the time he's been here? I wouldn't say he has. And people say, oh, yeah, we score a few goals. We look good going forwards. I'd argue we look good going forwards because we've got very good players. The two goals yesterday came from Wes Burns just on his own, sort of just decided to run down the wing as fast as he can, beat players, and because he's a good winger, set up two goals. But we're not, like I said, there has been some decent moments this year, but it isn't, like I said, we're not battering teams and letting in goals on the break, are we?
We're not, are we? Because by virtue, we've got, by, you know, some people's measures, the best number 10 in the league from last year. We've persuaded Connor Chaplin to drop down a league to come and play for us in our number 10. We can't get a tune out of either of those. Nothing at all is happening with our number 10, is it? It's just not
even when Joe Pickett played there. Nothing.
Not getting a touch.
Well, that's a good one. Gary L. Why does Cook remain with one up front when it clearly isn't working, and select Jackson over Pickett? Doesn't make sense. I mean, is it time for a formation change in two up front, Craig?
He's not going to do it, is he? It's not what he does. But it's just so isolated. You think the way that it gets spun after the matches is that we're, you know, throwing people in the box. We've only got one person in the box, and sometimes not even anyone in the box because Bond's dropped wide and Chaplin's gone out to sort of help him. There's nobody in the box at all. This is back to the days of Lambert.
Flim Flam Film Fan, should Cook explain what he expects from a number 10, or at least where to position himself? Sounds like that's exactly what you're saying.
Great. Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, and these are all the coaches that he's brought in, are the coaches that operated in that area of the pitch, aren't they? Paul Cook was a sort of an attacking, not attacking, a creative midfielder. Roberts was his number 10. Franny Jeffers is a centre forward. Well, they're all the guys that worked in that area of the pitch. They're not getting a tune out of them at the moment. And sorry, just to quickly go back on what Joe was saying about judging Cook and bits and pieces. Cook himself said, because someone said, oh, you know, it's four wins. I think it was in the same interview you referred to earlier, Rich. Four wins in 22, 23. He's like, oh, hang on, lads. You know, don't judge me on last year. We can only judge on this year. All right. Well, it's no wins out of six then.
Yeah.
Which way do you want it?
Our mate north of the border, MJ, with the amount of funding available in the terrible start of the season, does this in any way exonerate McCarthy or Lambert's eras? No one would defend either past manager's playing styles, but could it be argued they both have done better with relatively smaller investment?
Well, they have, haven't they? We got worse last year when Paul Cook came in, and we had the run in, which was, like I say, once we'd got over that hump of winning those games against tougher teams, we had a 16-game run in last year, which you looked at and you thought we could go up automatically if Cook gets this right. And we finished 10th, like I say. We had the easiest running game. We didn't have to play a single team that finished in the top six in the last 16 games, and we won four of them.
I'm going to list some names out for people who have kindly taken the time to chip in with lots of observations, lots of questions of a similar theme as you can expect. Tom Aggetts is quite, you know, is this running towards adversity that Mark Ashton has spoken about? You know,
definitely adversity.
We're creating it, I think, is what Mark Ewing's response is to that one. Dennis Sully, our mate Sully, what are the specific assignments for each coach of this team? I think we've dealt with that in respect of not enough of the defensive phase. Richard Lee, what's the bloody point anymore? Come on, Richard. It's still early. There's still 120 odd points to play for. Skip intro, how can apparently very good professional footballers play so naively at the back? I really want to believe, but frankly, I'm struggling right now. Absolute schoolboy defending time and time again. At what point, Craig, is there some responsibility for the players here? Or is it, you know, do you want to deal with that very quickly?
Oh, yeah, I would quickly. I think, you know, I'm willing to give the new guys a pass here. You know, certainly the centre half partnership and the goalkeeper. Mick Mills said after the match in post match saying that they just need to play again Tuesday night, don't they? Just get them in, get them game time, understanding, whatever it happens to be. Just get some sort of partnership. The only way you can play for everyone a day on the training field, but these guys just need to play games. I wouldn't be averse to that at all. Certainly your centre-halves and the goalkeeper are not doing too much running in any case in terms of the fitness. I still think a lot of this, and I don't want to call him out particularly, but Lee Evans is just, you know, he was brought in as Paul Cook's general before Morsy was, you know, on the back burner. And he's been a disappointment from a playing perspective, and certainly from a captaincy perspective. You know, when these guys are making mistakes, he's not there either cajoling them or bollocking them. He's doing neither.
Well,
he's
no just, one else is either. You know, is it like Morsy's the captain? Don't you know? You guys are a stopgap, but Morsy, you know, it's a real risky strategy. But there's no, you know, Dinastian has, we've called out his leadership qualities when he's featured at the back. He wasn't even doing that yesterday. You know, there's something very
Burgess had a poor game yesterday. Burgess, normally he's loud and vocal and, you know, calling out players, but he was quiet yesterday, but he wasn't great either.
I was going to finish on the stuff about Tuesday night. I mean so many people have chipped in stuff. Thank you, everyone. Sorry, I can't read all of this out because we're clocking up well over an hour now, and all of this is good stuff, but all of it is, you know, I don't think we've left any stone unturned here. Joe, I was going to come to you with Ian McIntyre's, Ian's question, similar to what Craig has said. You'll be there. Do you think we should play the first team, especially the back seven in the Pizza Cup, to get them more used to each other?
Personally, I'd say no. I think what have you got to gain from that game on Tuesday? I think if you put out a decent team there and lose to West Ham under 21s, you are just in mega trouble. I think you've just got to treat that competition as we wanted to treat at the start of the season.
Let's say you were there. Cook said he didn't care about the cups, didn't he?
Yeah, you put a decent team out tomorrow and Tuesday night, and you're in trouble. If you're having to put out a good team against West Ham under 21s in the Pizza Cup, you're in trouble. And someone will get injured. That's just the way things are at the moment. So you've just got to treat that like it should be treated, and that is as an under 23s competition. Our academy is as good as West Ham, so let's just treat it like that and play our players.
Two different schools of thought there. Thank you for your answers there. I'll end with Andrew's question. Run, Fat Boy, run. Should Cook stop running out of the tunnel before the players? Certainly, if he doesn't get a result at Lincoln, he won't be doing it. Sheffield Wednesday, will he? Guys, thank you so much for your insights and opinions and thoughts. And also thank you to everyone for your questions. Apologies, as I said, I didn't have time to name everyone or read everyone's out. We do appreciate it. It really helps shape the debate, and we're trying to make sense of stuff as much as you guys are. So thank you for trying to help us make sense of it too. Some plugs and bits and pieces before we say goodbye. And Craig, I'm going to let you have the final word. If that's right, you can start thinking about that. I will put across the bottom for the people who are watching on YouTube where you can find us. As always, I would commend our Instagram page, Blue Monday Pod Team. We're starting to do more and more stuff on that. But we will try and do a live show this week. We'll try and get a kind of a regular drumbeat of the Wednesday live show, where one, I'm sure of the three of us at least, will be talking about the Pizza Cup and whatever team is brought out to face them. The pre-match show, as always, we'll try and get that out either live Friday night or pre-record Friday morning if we can. Craig, I think, will be joining me this week. another debut on the pre-match show, so we'll look forward to that, where I will be listing out my key player for Lincoln. And it's probably not going to be Teddy Bishop because I think he might be injured. But if you're anyone from Ipswich Town listening, I have listed the player who scored or got an assist every single one of these shows. So, you know, don't bother with your scouting report. Just listen to the pre-match show and, yeah, maybe give me some Bunsen burner as well. And we'll have the flagship show, as always, either Sunday night if we record it early or Monday morning, 7 a.m. at the usual time. You can find me at Ips Rich. Joe, where can we find you?
At Joe Fares.
At Joe Fares and at ITFC underscore Academy. And we're going to leave him with the pressure of some astute, pithy final word. But you can tell us where we can find you as well, Craig, on Twitter too, before you do that.
I'm at FIMS75.
And I'll hand over to you.
Keep running towards that adversity.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.